Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Okay, what we've been doing is a few weeks ago had you kind of on a sheet of paper give me some subjects that you wanted me to address. And so we've been going through that list. Last week we talked about one thing in there, and I, from the conversation I've had with some of you, I need to be a little clearer. Imagine that. Because what we were talking about was this equality thing between men and women and how that works in a home. Okay? Now, if you weren't here, let me just kind of quickly review. God did not make us all equal. Okay? In fact, in this room, none of us are made the same. All of us have different gifts. We are not equal in our giftings. Some are given 2 talents, some are given 5, some are given 10. We are not equal in spite of what our culture says. Men and women, we are not equal. So when this comes to a marriage, we understand that there is an order to things. Correct? Now, there is a huge misunderstanding of how this operates on both sides. Imagine that. The men see it as, woman, I'm the head of the house. You do what I tell you to do. Now, men, if you ever do that, you're an idiot, okay? And I say that with all love and compassion, okay? All understanding. So it's not that I'm the one that's right. And women think, well, I got to submit. I can't do anything. I can't say anything. And ladies, we all know that goes completely against your being. So we know that's not going to happen. Okay? So we have to be realistic here in how this works. And let me just give you let's illustrate it this way. You have two people, two women. Okay? I want to be equal here. Two women who decide to go in business for themselves. And so they merge a partnership, 50-50. They each put in the same amount of money, the same amount of resources. They work together. They build their business. They build their inventory. Their business does well. And they get to a point where they have to make a choice in their business of how are we going to go from here? Are we just going to stay where we're at? Or are we going to expand? Are we going to hire some more employees? Are we going to find a bigger place to get? Are we going to increase our inventory? Are we going to charge more? What are we going to do? And so they sit down at a table and they have a discussion. Well, one of the women who is very conservative says, I don't think we should do any of that. I think we're okay where we're at. We just stay and keep doing what we've always been doing. The other one says, well, no, I think we need to go ahead and go and expand and do this and make a bigger place and everything else. Now you got a problem. Two people equal, but somebody has to decide. Right? Both have communicated what they think and what they feel. Correct? Who's making that call? Okay? Well, we're good Christians. We'll pray about it and God will change your mind. Right? That's what we'll kind of do, right? And then you'll see things my way and you'll see the light and everything will be fine. No, someone has to be in charge. Because if it doesn't, that business is going to die. Because no longer do you have two people working together. And whenever you have a disagreement in a business and two people not working together, they'll sabotage the business. Just like they'll sabotage a home. All right? So someone has to be in charge. Now, according to Scripture, in a marriage, the husband's in charge. So that when there is this, you know, we got a 1-1 tie, someone has to make the decision. Right? Now, man, let me just tell you something. If you're sitting here listening to this thing, good, I get to make the call. Now, let me just give you a little piece of advice here. Don't always make it your way. Sometimes what the good business person would do is say, you know what, I think we should do this, but in respect of you, and I know you got a problem with it. I'm good with that. Let's just go on. Sometimes that person has to say, you know what, I'm really convinced of this, and we don't do this, we're going to hurt. We've got to go on, and we've got to make the other choice. That's how a marriage works. You have two people both putting input in, both listening to one another. And see, men, people, when you have that discussion, you've got to make sure both people are heard. See, so many times when a guy makes a decision, the wife feels like the man hasn't listened. What she really feels like, you don't care about what I think. Because he's probably always chose his way. And if he's done that, he's sabotaging the marriage. And so it's not that the woman can't voice her opinion. It's not that she can't have her say. It's not, because let's put it this way. Most marriage problems are power struggles. Is who's going to get their way? Any questions? Yes, ma'am. When they won't make a decision. If you don't make a decision, you've made a decision. The Bible puts it this way. How can two walk together unless they agree? So there has to be agreement. Now, sometimes decisions don't have to be made right away. Sometimes you just need to wait. Sometimes the decision needs to be made now. You can't... Here's what happens. And ask questions anytime here. Couple comes in, sits down in front of me, and here's what I'm going to hear probably first in most of the cases. We're not communicating. Okay? That's usually how it's presented. What they really mean is, this jerk won't listen to me. Okay? Sorry, but that's, you know, they're not going to, they won't do what I want them to do. Fix them. Right? Isn't that the way it goes? So that what we have to understand is, it's not a problem of communication. It is usually a problem of conflict resolution. We don't resolve the issue. And therefore, what happens? If you put a pan on a stove with filled with something, so let's say water, and you just leave the heat on just at low, over the course of time, the water will be gone and the pan will be burnt. And if you got a issue in your marriage and you don't fix it and resolve it, of here's how we're going to handle it, what you've done is you've left the heat on low. And over the course of time, something's going to get burnt. So there has to be decisions. So the God sets an order. This is how things operate. And this is how we make decisions. And if you do it my way, it will be better for you. Now, if you've got a spouse that won't make a decision, you have to be very careful. Because here's what you'll hear. Well, I don't care what you do. Just go ahead and do whatever you want. And if you go, oh, good, you're not very observant. Okay? So there has to be two people willing to work together. And what destroys a marriage? A marriage is destroyed when one person decides, I no longer want to work with this person. I want what I want, and I don't care what it costs. And they go do their own thing. And unfortunately, when that happens, there is very little you can do. So, does that explain this better? And usually the issues are money, children, careers, sex, shopping.
The other aspect.
okay, if you want to throw that in. But shopping is a money issue, usually, isn't it? And so what has to happen? You see, the minister stands up in front of a couple and says, two are now one. No, they're not. That hasn't happened yet. Right? That takes years, doesn't it? And in reality, we fight becoming one. We don't want to lose our identity. Thus, a lot of women have their own career because I want my identity. Thus, a lot of men are unwilling to consider another better themselves because they want their identity. And so we create that conflict. Yeah. Yeah. Right. When you go 50-50, you go back to the illustration of the business. It was 50-50, wasn't it? But there's going to come a point in time when the decision has to be made about something, and how's that going to get made? Now, hopefully, and I had somebody say, well, my husband and I just always agree together and work together. I go, great. If that's the way you live in that great world for a while, long as you can. But there always comes a point where decisions have to be made, don't they? How are we going to do this? How are we going to operate this? What are we going to do over here? How about this? Well, I think you're being too hard with the kids. Well, I don't think you're being strict enough. Well, I don't like the way you spend money. Well, you don't even save any money. I want you to save something. Well, I don't like the way you do this. You want to have this career? Well, I'm tired of sacrificing for you. Well, it's all about your job, isn't it? About... Where does it end? At some point, two people have to sit down and say, okay, we're going to live together for a lot of years. Let's not keep fighting about this the whole time. Let's resolve this. Here's how we're going to operate this. Now, if we need to sit down 6 months, 8 months, a year from now and reevaluate, that's great. But I don't want to wake up every morning and hear, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, whatever decision is made, you now have to live with the consequences of that choice. Now, here's the problem. None of us in this room have 20/20 vision when it comes to the future. So you make the best decision you can with the information you have now with here's what we feel best about. There are going to be times in everyone's life when you're going to look back and regret a decision. Now, the worst thing in the world you can do is hold that over somebody's head the rest of their life. Well, if you hadn't have done that, you know, we'd be in a better shape right now if you hadn't decided to go. Anybody hurt? Never mind. Right? So, okay, live and learn. Now, we make these decisions as prayerfully as we can, as spiritually as we can. Here's God's word. We want to follow that. We want to be obedient to that. We want to do what's right. But have you ever noticed that two people can look at Scripture and see two entirely different things? It's incredible. My wife can read a verse and say, it means this and this. I'm going, no, it don't. After a while, oh, yeah, it does. Okay. And you will live with those differences. But there is an order. And when you get away from that order and you start saying, we're 50-50, okay, what are you going to do when this is happening? Because I'll guarantee you, this is going to happen. So there is a biblical way to resolve that.
I notice it all the time.
Right.
Never one decision or the other. Whichever partner makes that determination, the other person
right.
occurs. So it becomes ours, so we're accountable to each other.
Right.
We're not accountable to say, well, you made that decision.
You made that decision, I didn't have anything to do with it.
It becomes ours.
Yep.
It's just like we voted on it.
Yeah. And any person who is a leader and the head of something, if you have something to do, a decision to make that involves the people under you, any good leader is going to take some time and ask them, what do you think? What would you prefer? Everybody wants to be heard, right? I want to know that my opinion somewhat matters. And the leader needs to communicate that they understand what all of these people feel and think. And say, I will consider all of that, but then who's got to make the decision? You got five people doing that? One has to make a decision. Now you see, the problem is we live in America. And America is a democracy. So we think every vote counts. We should have learned that by now, hadn't we? That's a whole nother issue, isn't it? But that's what we feel, isn't it? My vote matters just as much as everybody else's. No, it doesn't. We're not all equal. So the problem is we have to structure our lives according to what God has put in order and do that in a manner that's healthy so that I sit down with my spouse and say, when it comes to money, when it comes to kids or anything else, okay, here's what I think. What do you think? And hopefully we're close to being the same. If we're not, now the grid word comes compromise. What can you live with? What can I live with? And if that doesn't work, now we have to go, look, this is what we're going to do. Is that clearer? Any other questions? Oh, man. Oh, the old guy in the back. Don't go and tell you you've never had a fight, because I know better. Right. 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 And let me go on from there, because one of the next subjects that got written down is, how do you raise kids in today's society? Okay? The best thing you can do for your kids is have a healthy marriage. Okay? That's the best thing you can do. Now, if you're a single parent here today, then the best thing for you you can do is set a godly example for your children. And you show them what a Christian lives like. Because as they grow, they will notice. So you set that example for them of, look, there's pain, there's difficulty in life, but God will help us get through this. And you keep on that no matter what. So that what has to happen with kids today, see, our problem is in our culture today, we have made kids idols. And everybody knows, if you want to raise money, raise it for children. We don't care about the old people. Raise it for kids. And everybody will give something for kids. And we've made them little gods. And therefore, we have not disciplined them. And we let them go off and do whatever they want to do. Your job as a parent in a home is to discipline your children. It is to raise them to be healthy adults. That is your job. Your kids are not to be your friends. I remember one time one of my kids was just getting started into high school. And we were having a little difficulty, and I was talking with them, and it came out where they said, you know what, I just want to be your friend. And I said to them, I'm sorry, you can't. I can be your friend later. I cannot be your friend now. I'm your parent. And you might not like me. And I'm not living my life hoping you like me. I'm not going to be devastated if you don't. In fact, I hope you don't like me sometimes. Because that means I'm probably doing okay. So that I am responsible to help my kids know. You see, we have this idea, sex education. Let me go there. It's the easiest way to point it out. We believe that if we give our kids all the information in the world about sex, that they'll make a good decision. That's not working too well, is it? So the way of raising kids is not to give them information. It's showing them this is how you do this. First of all, you as a parent have to set the example. You cannot teach something you don't live. You know, and here's how it'll happen. We'll have a young couple come in to church and they'll say, well, we needed to get back into church because we have some kids. And I'm thinking, that won't help. Not unless you as a parent are committed to your life to God. Because if you're expecting church to do everything you're not doing, it's probably not going to happen. Because you're with them a whole lot more than we are. So, and grandparents, if you're in a place where you're raising kids, the rules are the same. Okay? Now, it's harder to be when you're a grandparent. But the rules have to be the same if you're raising them. Because the right way is always the right way, no matter how you do it. So I have to understand, my job as a parent is to help my kids grow up to be healthy adults. That's my responsibility, to train them and to teach them. Now, please understand something. I have to do that a variety of ways. I have to make sure I keep connected to my kids. The moment I sense my kids rebelling, I've got to stop. And I've got to make some adjustments so they don't go there. And I've got to adjust things so that we stay connected. And yes, parents will do things. My wife's coming in, you're too hard on the kids. I'm going, okay, I'm the bad cop. Go in and be the good one. Let's go on. But you've got to understand. Plus, when you do this, this is good. You do not have a guarantee that they're going to turn out right. All right? What you have is, I did what I was responsible to do. Now, at some point, they become a free moral agent, and they have a will of their own to make their own choices. And as a parent, I don't need to go on a guilt trip because my kids aren't living up to my expectations. I've told you before, you can know, I hope most of you know it. I have I've told my kids, all I have is one expectation for you, just one. I want you to serve God. Beyond that, don't care. You serve God, I'm happy. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. I don't care what you do in school, grade-wise. I know that might shock you. Because I didn't care what I did in school, so I didn't... You know, it's kind of hard to get what you didn't do. You know, anyway. You know, I'm not going to put the pressure on those things. Those things are incidental. What really matters is your walk with God. So now as I'm raising my kids, what's my priority? What do I need to do to help you serve God? Not what do I need to do to get you better grades in school, to get you to do this and get you to do this. It's this is what I want. So what do I do to get that to happen? You read them Bible stories at night before they go to bed. You bring them to church all the time. You do what you need to do so that they're exposed to the environment that you want them to grow up in and live in. And that becomes the priority. Little League soccer, my kids all played it, but I didn't care whether they're a great soccer star. Now, they even played in the band, which was really hard for me, but... So be it, because that's not the priority. See, what do you want for your kids? You have to answer that question. The day you have them, what do I want? Well, I want to be a Christian. Okay, job description done. That's how you raise a godly family. You don't lose sight of what your goal is for their lives. And I'll do everything I can. And then what happens is you have to change parenting style as they get older. Most parents are still trying to raise their 12-year-old like they did their 5-year-old. That won't work. And sometimes we want our kids to grow up too fast. Let them be kids and enjoy them. Enjoy the funny, stupid stuff they do. Even though you got to clean up the mess afterwards. we're an overprotective society, aren't we? Oh, I don't want them to go out here, and I don't want them to do this, and I don't want them to do that. Listen, all you got to do, you got a cell phone, put the hospital ambulance number on speed dial, just know where the doctor's is and how to get there real quick, and you'll be okay. And go out and climb the tree, and you watch them doing this, and going, oh, and walk away and say, you know, when you get done, come on in. What if they fall? What if they break an arm? They did. To the doctor, fix it. That's life. And see, if you try to protect your kids from everything that's going to happen, at some point your kid's going to have a real hard time because you're not going to be around. Yeah. Right. That you know about. Yeah. Ever. Somebody else had a hand up back here. No? I covered it. Anybody else? I know you want to say something. Go ahead and say it. I covered it? Well then, okay, good. We're done. But no, we're not. Go ahead. Right. And see, this whole business, I'm probably talking to the wrong crowd here, but this whole business of only having one kid, that's one of these issues here, that we buy into what a society says we're being overpopulated. It's garbage. Okay? You see, what's happening is none of the Christians are having kids, but all the Muslims are. Okay? And so what you're going to have is, and I just saw some numbers, somebody sent me an email not too long ago, that in the next 20 years, Europe will be Muslim, not because of conversion, just simply through birth rate. Okay? So we buy into this zero. Remember we've talked about how things start subtle and just keep growing and have an effect all the way through? This is another one of those issues that sounds okay, sounds like, yeah, I have one kid. And after all, that's all we can afford. Oh, come on. Where's God in that picture? So that we have to understand, you know, raising kids is a great privilege and a great responsibility. I do what I'm responsible to do as a parent, and then whatever my kids choose to do from that, I still love them. I don't always agree with them. I don't always like what they're doing. But as long as they're serving God, I'm good. Are they going to have troubles? You bet. Will we have conflicts? Yes. But I can't lose sight of the big picture. What really matters? Now, we say, well, what if I got a kid that's not serving God? Well, I love them. I pray for them. I let them know they're always welcome home. I do what I can to have an influence in their life without being controlling. Because, folks, once your kids move out of your house, you're done. Take your hands and quit trying to run their lives. Okay? Now, when they get married, they're no longer responsible to you. Isn't that amazing? As a parent, when your child gets married, now no longer are you number one in their life. And some people don't like it when they're not number one anymore. That creates other problems, doesn't it? Comments? Questions? Yes? When they reach an age, let's put it this way. When kids start going to college, everything changes. Okay? Your way of dealing with them, it's in college where I can start being their friend. And God, but I still have some control and I still have some responsibility. Because chances are in college they're still taking my money and they're still coming home. All right? But I have to understand, I'm now dealing with a college student and everything changes then. Once they get through there and move out, get married, now I am pretty much, I am finished. Do I still care about my kids? You bet. Are there times when I still want to help them? Yes. But and here's the way I work it with them, and they all know it. I will not call you and give you advice. But you can ask anytime you want. Okay? You can ask. But I will not just give it to you. Yes. Yeah, you got to raise kids the same way, no matter what where they're at is there. Now, if you've got an older kid, and it's happening more and more because, again, our society and culture, kids are not getting married as early as they used to. My wife and I got married when we were 20 and 21. And at that point in time, that was pretty standard. Now you talk to any of these young couples today, wow, that's really early. Now I think the number's up, if I remember right, I think the average age is somewhere up between 24 and 26. Okay? They're afraid. What are they afraid of? Well, I haven't seen marriage work too well, and I want to make sure one works. So thus we have an epidemic of people living together thinking this will be a better way. And it's really much more devastating. And so you've got to come there. So you do that. Now, if you've got an older child living at home, then if they're in your house, you have a right to set the rules. I have an older son living in my house. Okay? He has rules. There's not a lot. I don't snoop into his stuff. I don't go into his room and, you know, dig out what's there. But he understands, here's how we live here in this house, and as long as you're here, this is it. And as long as you live like this, we're good. Now you cross that line, and suddenly we're going to talk about your arrangements. Okay? Because here's what you have to understand, and it's not happening today. There is nothing more important to me than my marriage. My children do not come before my marriage. And see, too many times kids interrupt a marriage and they can't. And my spouse has to know, your spouse has to know they are more important to you than children. And I've seen marriages destroyed because, well, it's my kids and blah, blah, blah. And this really gets to be tough when it's my kids and your kids. Really tough. So I have to set those boundaries when they're in my house. This is how you're, if you're going to stay here, that's fine. You're here at my invitation. I'll do this as long as you're doing this, this, and this. You're holding a job. I'm not going to cover your expenses like this. You're going to take care of stuff. If you start going against that, then we're going to talk and we're going to change that. Okay? Okay. Okay. What's my job? Then my job, if they're there and I've got some responsibility, what influence can I have to help them be godly? I can do that. In fact, as a grandparent, my priority with my grandkids, what can I do to help them be godly? I'm not going to go against mom and dad, but I can have an influence that will be in keeping with what they want, but helping them see God. And that's part of my task. Yes? Right. You know, the question is, well, you got one of your kids is married and one of them or the other one is not a Christian. Is it controlling to keep asking them to come to church? It's not doing that to ask them to come to church unless it's nagging. Now, here's what we understand about nagging. If I tell my wife you're nagging me, what's her response? No, I'm not. So the person doing the nagging doesn't get to decide what nagging is. Thus, I have to be aware of how is this other person perceiving this. I can go so far. I can invite them now and then. I don't want to call them every Saturday night. You coming to church tomorrow? Okay. No, don't. You know, that would be taken a little too far. So there are moments and opportunities that I can take again to have an influence. Hey, we're having a special thing at church. Would you like to come? Hey, your cousins are involved in this. Would you like to come? And you just put it out there as that. You can't, you come to church or else. You can't, you know, I raised you better than this. Guilt doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You can. No one can make you feel guilty. It's your choice. And if you're trying to make somebody else feel guilty, you might do that, but if they get guilty, now you're responsible to control them from there on out, and that won't work. Right, and that's not godly. Okay? Yes. Well, just a minute. What number? Right. 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 He knows where you stand. You keep that stance, and you can. Every once in a while, hey, you had a great time at church the other day. You know, and just you tell them, you don't ask them, are they going? You don't say, you just do, you just use wisdom in how you do that. You look for opportunities to use wisdom without pressuring. See, God doesn't pressure. God says, here I am. Whoever wants to can come. Yes. Right.
Here's what's happening, not like, oh, you have to be there,
right.
Or, oh, you missed it.
So my job in raising my kids is to make church fun. Because, let's be honest, kids don't come to church because they're spiritual.
Right.
Kids come to church for two or three reasons. Number one, it's where their friends are.
Yep.
And that's a good thing. Number two, they have fun.
Yeah.
And that involves getting candy. Okay. And if that's what it takes, and you know this, any of you got kids, I see your kids out there in that lobby, you know what I'm asking them? Do you have fun today? Do you have fun? Because if they had fun, they're going to bug mom and dad to come back. They had fun. Let's go to church. I had one parent say to me once, you know what, I can't even drive by the church anymore because my kids start crying because we won't turn in. Right, and it's the same way, you know. And so you use wisdom in how this works, and how, because people look at Christianity in so many different ways. And so what we have to do sometimes in raising healthy families is contrary to what the world thinks, but following God's ideals. And if we'll do that, God will be faithful. Father, thank you for being in our lives. Help us to do what's pleasing to you, we pray in thy name. Amen.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.